Lutheran Public Radio is now a nonprofit organization. That means all past, present, and future gifts to LPR are tax deductible. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and mail it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support.
Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Tell me of the God-man who bore all the blame.
Hey. Time to do a little sermon review here on Issues Etc. It's one of our listeners' favorite parts. What we do is we just take a sermon in its entirety. We try to get through the entire thing, and we listen to it. The purpose of this is to do some basic instruction on how to listen to a sermon, whether or not a sermon is actually centered on Christ and his saving work or not. Here's our basic diagnostic. Based upon Jesus' own words, you search the scriptures, for therein you think you find eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify of me, John chapter 5. Listen for Jesus. How often is Jesus mentioned in the sermon? How often is he mentioned? Why? If he isn't mentioned, sermon isn't about him. How often is Jesus mentioned? Not just honorable footnote mention, but is Jesus the sum and substance of the sermon? If Jesus is mentioned, ask yourself this question. Is he the subject of the verbs? That is, are we talking about what Jesus has done, or is Jesus just there as the passive recipient of everything we do? Is it what Jesus does for you or what you do for Jesus? And then if Jesus is mentioned and he is the subject of the verbs, ask yourself this third question. What are the verbs? Is this the Jesus who inspires, motivates, helps you along, gives you a little encouragement? Or is this the Jesus who does it for you, that is, lives for you, obeys God in your place, suffers for you, dies for you, rises again for you? St. Paul said to the Corinthians, I'm determined to know nothing among you save Christ and him crucified. He was determined to preach Jesus as the subject of the verbs, and to preach those verbs that are Jesus' suffering and death for a world of sinners. When we come back, we're going to review this sermon from Pastor George Borghardt on the Transfiguration, preached at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas. And when we do it, we'll use that diagnostic, 1-877-623-6943. Or talk back at issuesetc.org. Our sermon review after this.
So, what are your plans for Valentine's weekend? Sitter for the kids, dinner for two, champagne, roses, or maybe you don't have any plans. How about spending that time with your brothers? The Brothers of John the Steadfast, that is. Our first national conference is on the 13th and 14th of February in Naperville, Illinois. Featured speakers are Pastor Todd Wilkin from Issues Etc. and Chris Roseborough. For more info, check us out on the web, www.steadfastlutherans.org.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. But due to the heavy volume, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available 24/7, 618-223-8384.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you the new Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, 1600 Gulfview Drive, Suite 230, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the new Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. and I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, issues, etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time to review a sermon. Transfiguration is an occasion in the church year. If you're following the church's calendar, the liturgical calendar is what it's technically called, but it's really just the church's way of marking time. It, of course, begins with the Advent season leading into Christmas and then followed by Epiphany. And right there in Epiphany, we're in Epiphany right now, by the way, right there in Epiphany stands the Transfiguration. Usually, Matthew 17, the first couple verses of that chapter, we read about Jesus going up to a mountain with three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John. And while he's there on the mountain, the scripture tells us he is transfigured. He begins to shine like the sun. And he's joined there by Moses and Elijah. And then a voice comes from heaven, "This is my son. Listen to him." It's all over with, and Jesus tells his disciples, "Don't tell anyone about what you've seen until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." What is that about? We're going to find out this sermon from Pastor George Borghardt, St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas, our Issues Etc. sermon review.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of Jesus, this Super Bowl Sunday gives us the greatest epiphany of the season so far. Jesus was transfigured before them. His form changed. A metamorphosis took place. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as light. And as you just sung, it was with unborrowed light. His glory. He showed them his glory. He is God with us. The Lord of glory, God himself, is one of us. God so close that you can touch him. God just the way we want him. Powerful, mighty, everlasting, shining like the sun. Then, as if it can't get any better, Moses and Elijah show up. Heroes from the Old Testament and from your Sunday school classes. But more than that, when you've got Moses, you've got the law and the commandments. And when you got Elijah, you've got the prophets. When you have both Moses and Elijah, you have the law and the prophets, which is the shorthand in the scriptures for saying you have the whole Old Testament. Can you get any more wonderful than that? There is Jesus, God's Son, and the Old Testament having a conversation about saving you from your sins. And there you are with them on the mount. And then St. Peter pipes up with our thoughts. They're not just his thoughts, they're our thoughts too. "It's good, Lord, to be here. Let's set up some tents, tabernacles, altars, one for you, one for Elijah, one for Moses. And this, so that this sort of worship, me with you, will never end. Let's not come down from this mountain. This is religion, power, glory, honor, God shining, and us being there. A retreat with Jesus that will not end." Now that is a Super Bowl epiphany. No more broken hearts. No more pain and abuse. No more suffering. No more not being appreciated. No more being despised. No more being poor. No more hoping that tomorrow looks better than tomorrow comes and you still have the same problems you had before. No being happy, going about your life, and then suddenly something happens which changes your life for the worst. No more cancer. No more death. Just me with Jesus up there shining like the sun on the mountain.
All right, maybe you can see where he's headed here, but let's just talk over our diagnostic again. How often is Jesus mentioned? So far, this is all about Jesus. But if you're listening carefully, he is laying a foundation for you that you might want to take note of, where he talks about, let's not come down from this mountain. This is religion. This is God the way we want God to be. But if you know anything about Jesus, he's not the God you want. He's the God you need. And he's not there just to put on a good show. Contrary to what many Christians seem to think on Sunday morning, he's not there just to put on a good show. How often is Jesus mentioned? Is Jesus a subject of the verb? So far, so good. And what are the verbs? So far, it's shining, glory, power. You'll hear those verbs in a lot of churches about Jesus. None of them yet a Jesus that saves. I mean, Jesus that shines, you can read a book by him. You'll never get lost in the woods with a shining Jesus. You may not need to pay your electric bill if you've got a shining Jesus, but it won't save you. So far, the verbs are not saving verbs. Let's see what he does next.
But such religion doesn't take into account one thing. My sins. My sins are what separate me from God. They are the reason for suffering, my suffering, and my death in this world. Adam's sin, then my sin. My sins are what separate me from heaven and bright, shining Jesus. Yours, too. You have all the time in the world for everything but the Lord's words. They come after everything you think is important. And what's most important to you? Well, you are most important to you. What you think is important, what you think about God, what you want, even at the expense of those around you. And don't deny it. I know this is your way because it's my way, too. I'm the center of my own universe. If you are honest with yourself, you will confess to God that you are the center of your own universe too. Then, as St. Peter is still speaking, as he's going on about his own self-centered religion, our religion, comes the cloud of the glory and majesty of Almighty God. God the Father makes an appearance, his second of our Epiphany season, in the clouds of heaven, shows forth the majesty of Almighty God. Then he speaks from the cloud, same words he spoke at the baptism of our Lord. This is my Son, my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. But there's a little addition at Transfiguration. The Father not only says what he says at Jesus' baptism, he says two words that save us. Hear him. Ears off of you and what you think. No more focusing on you, Peter. No more being the center of your own universe around you. No more you first. Instead, listen to Jesus. But the voice and the cloud of God's glory, and the mountain, and bright shining Jesus with Moses and Elijah was just too much. The gift became law for the apostles, Peter, James, and John. So they did what we sinners do. They fell on their faces terrified by Almighty God. Like Father Adam and Mother Eve hid. Like the children of Israel told Moses to cover his face, to put away the glory of God. Sinners and the glory of God just don't go well together. Well, why? You know what's more scary than hell. What's more scary than hell is to stand before God with your sin. You know what you've done wrong. You know what God is going to do to you. You know what he does to sinners. And the fear, the terror, takes over. For where can you hide from Almighty God? Reminds me of my son Thomas. I called my son Thomas into our bedroom one time to discuss with him something that he had done. He no sooner gets into my bedroom, the door closes, and he starts to cry. "Why are you crying, son?" "I'm going to get spanked," he says. "Why do you think that? We haven't even started talking." And he looks at me and says, "I'm in this room with you." He knew he had done wrong. He just didn't know which wrong it was that I was going to call him on. Before the punishment even began, before there was even a discussion of what the punishment might be, fear and terror came.
We'll continue the sermon on the other side of the break. We're listening to a sermon preached on the Transfiguration by Pastor George Borghardt of St. Mark Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas. We're listening for how often Jesus is mentioned. Is Jesus the subject of the verbs? And what are the verbs? Now, so far I said, it's glory. And Pastor Borghardt has pointed out that a Jesus who merely shines and displays his glory doesn't save. In fact, this is the kind of majesty that should terrify us. Like that little boy in the room with his father. Terrify us because we know we deserve punishment. We don't want to stand basking in the glory of God as sinners. It's not just that we don't like the glory, it's that God is dangerous to us if we are found apart from the perfect righteousness of Christ. Sermon review. We'll post the text of this sermon at our website, issuesetc.org. All you got to do is click on demand. More of the review after this.
How he died for me on the cross. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Give me the good news of God's only son. Hey,
preaching Christ and Him crucified. You're listening to Issues, etc.
By death came man. Who said that?
Answers with Ken Ham, author of the powerful and challenging book, Genesis and the Decay of the Nations.
The Bible teaches us that it was man's sin that brought death. But Charles Darwin said something quite different. Darwin actually saw war, famine, and death as being good because they produced the higher animals and finally man himself. At the end of his book, The Origin of the Species, he said, quote, "Thus from the war of nature, from famine and death, the most exalted object which we are capable of conceiving, namely the production of higher animals, directly follows," end of quote. In other words, what Darwin said was this, by death came man. The things we see today as terrible and ugly, such as war, famine and death, were actually seen as good by Darwin. You see, they're a part of evolution. This belief is in direct contrast to the Bible. We're told by the Apostle Paul in Corinthians that by man came death, exactly the opposite. Sadly, many Christians think they can add evolution to the Bible, but it's impossible, for the sin of Adam led to death.
Indeed, so many believers try to take Darwin's beliefs and squeeze them into the Bible, but it just doesn't work. With Darwin's 200th birthday next week, you need to have a copy of our special edition of Answers Magazine, which looks at Darwin's beliefs. Well, we're at the end of the week, and you need to call and get this special edition. Our toll-free number is 1-888-89-ANSWERS, 888-89-ANSWERS.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org. And you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. Issuesetc.org. Click Promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the Promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're reviewing a sermon, Transfiguration sermon preached by Pastor George Borghardt in Conroe, Texas at his church, St. Mark's. Monday on the program, we'll discuss Christ's descent into hell with Pastor Peter Bender, and we'll talk with Dr. Michael Behe about Darwinian evolution. Two very important topics Monday on Issues, Etc. Well, let's hear the rest of this. He's left us standing on the mountain like a young boy in fear of punishment, basking in Christ's glory, and then realizing that we're in trouble before a Christ who is nothing but glory in front of us. Where does that leave us? Are we left just merely at God's mercy, or perhaps with no mercy and only a shining Jesus?
And there the apostles were, where you and I are, amidst the glory and majesty of Almighty God, sins exposed, punishment coming. We are done in. God is going to get us, and there's no shelter from him. No place to hide from the wrath of the glory of Almighty God. Then Jesus, he's still there. Amidst the glory and majesty of God, amidst the personal hells that we land ourselves in daily and much by what we have done, amidst all the suffering and death that we try to escape from, there's Jesus. He is there. The text says he came and touched them. He wasn't standing with the glory and majesty of God against them. He's not against you either. For here is the greatest epiphany today. They looked up, and there was Jesus. Only Jesus. Only their Savior. He is the Son of the living God. He shines with the glory and majesty of God himself. The fullness of the glory of God dwells within him, God and man. And in a moment like this, he doesn't judge, he doesn't condemn, he doesn't discard us. At this moment in the gospel, when he is most God, even shining like the sun, standing there in all his glory, he is in solidarity with you. He is on the side of sinners. What I mean is, this Super Bowl Sunday, the Lord Jesus is on your team. What do you think the gambling line is on that? You get heaven or hell? That's the question. You've got Jesus on your side, on your team. Pretty much solves it, doesn't it? You get heaven because of who's on your side. They looked up, and there was no cloud, no majesty, no glory. There was Jesus. Only. For only Jesus saves you. Jesus, who is headed for Jerusalem, headed to be handed over into the hands of sinful men, to be betrayed, flogged, mocked, scorned, rejected, and lifted up above the earth, displayed for all the world to see. And he will hang there until he dies. To Good Friday he goes. To death itself he marches. And your mountain retreat with Jesus, you and Jesus with your time that never ends, it happens here. For here at his supper, Jesus gives to you his body to eat and his blood to drink for the remission of every last one, every one of the sins that would keep you from Almighty God. Forgiveness achieved for you when the one who was transfigured before the apostle set his face to the cross and death, and forgiveness delivered to you in, with, and under the bread and the wine. The bread and wine is the body and blood of the transfigured, crucified, and now risen Lord. And all your pain, all your suffering, all the abuse you have suffered, the despising, the rejection, the abandonment, the sadness, the failures, the guilt, the sickness, the cancer, the blindsided suffering, and death itself is taken away. Not by you being with Jesus, but by Jesus being with you, so for you, so one of you, that he would set aside the glory of the Mount of Transfiguration to save you. And now risen from the dead, he has glory and then some. All the glory and majesty of Almighty God is in the man Jesus at the right hand of God. And there is an epiphany that is so super that it will never end.
Not now, not ever. So, dear saints of God, watch the bright, shining glory of God today. Watch it in the person of Jesus. Sing your hallelujahs. Sing them loud and sing them strong. Then give them up for a bit during both Lent and pre-Lent. For the same Jesus that shines like the sun today for you hangs dead on the cross for you on Good Friday in solidarity with you and in your place. And the same Jesus who shines like the sun today will shine risen from the dead for you on Easter morning. And you will stand before him on the last day, not with him against you, but Jesus on your side, on your team. 'Tis good, Lord, to be here, yet we may not remain. But since thou biddest us leave the mount, come with us to the play. In the name of Jesus, our transfigured Lord. Amen.
There's the sermon. I think an excellent example of preaching Christ straight from the text. You know, we talk about textual preaching, and Pastor George Borghardt there at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas, gives us a good example of preaching the text. He talks about what Jesus did in the text. That keeps Jesus at the center of the sermon, often mentioned, the subject of the verbs, and all the verbs are right. You don't have to go outside the account at all to get Jesus from the Mount of Transfiguration to the Mount of Calvary, where he gives his life for us. It's not a stretch. It shouldn't be for any preacher, any Sunday, with any group of sinners to preach to.